The following is a presentation of the Premier Dance Network.
I'm James, and this is The Stage Right Side with James Whiteside, where we'll dive deep into the dark world of dance and come up on the bright side. Oh, that's terrible. This is The Stage Right Side with James Whiteside. I'm James, and I'm here with wig and makeup specialist, or what would you call it?
Artist.
Okay. Wig artist? I've never heard of that.
Wig stylist.
Wig stylist, makeup artist. We're learning the lingo here, folks. Rena Most, and she's the head of makeup and wigs here at American Ballet Theatre. And this is episode 9 of The Stage Right Side. And we are actually in my dressing room this time, so that's cool. We're surrounded by dance belts. Like, look at that. So I room with Danielle and Corey, and so we have a chaise lounge in our dressing room, which is very bougie and marvelous. But Danielle always leaves his, like, panties on the chaise, so that, like, if you want to lay down on the chaise, you have to, like, have his panties next to your face. So I'm always telling him to move his panties. How many times can I say panties? Panties. All right, moving right along. We are in the middle of Swan Lake Week, which is where everyone loses about 30 pounds because it's such a hard ballet.
Not in the makeup room.
Not in the makeup
room. We gain because yeah. We don't do as much.
That's true, actually. It's a pretty light show
for
you guys.
The more dancing, the less hair and makeup.
That's valid.
Yeah. So this is our first week of eating. all show long.
Have you been down to the Met cafeteria and everything?
Sometimes
you're not into
much.
It.
I go when necessary.
Amen.
But we have a pretty solid kitchen set up in our back.
That's amazing.
Yeah, we added that this year. We have a fridge and like coffee pot, teapot, smoothie maker.
A toaster? Yeah. Do you have a toaster?
We don't have a toaster, but the carpenters do.
Oh, now
we carpenters
know.
Have a microwave and a toaster.
Yes. The luxuries, ladies and gentlemen. So, Rena, just tell me where you're from and all that jazz.
I'm from Bucks County, Pennsylvania, which is about an hour and a half south of Manhattan. Mm-hmm. I grew up very suburban lifestyle, but coming to New York pretty often. A lot of my family's from New York and Boston region, and we were always into theater. So whether it be community theater or in New York, we came relatively often.
Were you a drama kid?
I was not a drama kid. I danced and did like acro most of my life just for fun. I never competed.
Cool.
I did a little bit of theater, and when I was like 9, I decided I wanted to be backstage.
Wow.
So I went into theater, but backstage pretty early. I cared way more about getting ready and getting everybody else ready than being on stage. And I did theater and haunted houses and weddings and proms all through high school. And then I moved to New York City to go to art school when I was 18. And I've been here since.
Okay, pause. I heard haunted house, and that's like one of my favorite phrases on the planet. So can you just tell me like your favorite haunted house you worked?
I don't even remember the name. It was not Sleepy Hollow. I forget the name.
It
was near my parents in Pennsylvania. It was in the suburbs, I guess, on the East Coast. Haunted houses are like a really big thing because there's a lot of farms and they all have haunted hay rides. It was really cool because we did full-blown makeup, prosthetics, airbrushing about 2 minutes per person. So there would be about 150 actors. And you just stood there with an airbrush gun and like really cheap foam, like latex foam prosthetics, and you would glue them on and you just painted the whole face in 2 minutes maximum. And they were full blown.
Wow.
In haunted houses, you get away with a lot because it's
so dark,
yeah. And there's so many other things going on. So you could just do, you know, a whole white face with black eyes and red veins and call it a day. So that was
sort of like theater.
It is a lot like theater. It is a lot like theater versus film or anything close up.
Yeah.
And that's when I really started airbrushing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of went away from airbrushing and now I do it as needed.
So you said NYU?
No, I went to FIT.
FIT. Well, that makes more sense. Cool.
FIT.
And, like, what, did you have a favorite class there? Like, I don't know what you study to become what you
are. So, I studied, I knew I wanted to go into the makeup world. Uh-huh. I also knew I wanted to go to a formal school setting because I was not ready to just make it as an artist at 18 years old. So, I chose to study, like, formal traditional drawing and painting. So, I was a fine arts major. I went to FIT, one, because they had a more liberal program where you could kind of have say in what you focus on, but also because it was so closely connected to the fashion industry that I did work in when I was in college and quickly decided I did not want to do makeup in the fashion industry.
Why is that?
It is not artistically challenging. The hours are really long. I didn't love working with photographers and fashion designers. They are not always the best artistic director. However, they take on that role as photographer, and I didn't always agree with them because they didn't know what the makeup should be, and then they just made decisions. And it's pretty boring makeup. Very few people want elaborate couture makeup nowadays. It's very natural, just covering pimples and fixing their eyebrows. So to do a shoot for 12 hours, I was working for 1 hour and just sitting watching.
Sounds like a snooze. Sorry.
Yeah, it was not for me. Some jobs were really fun, but not enough to pursue it. And unfortunately, the fashion industry has really changed, especially in New York. And there's very little money and there's very little artistic freedom nowadays.
Yeah. And so what, okay, so just a little backstory here. We just finished the Golden Cockerel last week, and I played the astrologer, which is sort of like a wizardy, sort of crone-esque, witchy character, sorceress, what have you. And Rena pretty much designed the whole look, like makeup-wise, and wig-wise, beard-wise, etc. It was really fun just sort of plopping down in a chair and, like, completely transforming. I felt unrecognizable, which is marvelous because, you know, wizards. But I had this, like, very long gray beard and a scraggly sort of bald golem wig, which was amazing. I loved it. And then I had a pointy wizard hat and a, I guess a big
pointy
witch nose.
Yeah,
essentially. And just sallow gray face with sort of like a downturned lip and blood red sort of, you know, like I've got sores in my mouth, like really vile. So it was really fun. And it helped me actually, transform and change the way I did the role, because in the studio it's very hard as a 31-year-old, you know, male of a certain height to transform into a stooped, mischievous, good and evil character, you know, sort of like ambiguously evil. And so once I've got the whole getup on, and especially when I have the wig and the makeup on and the nose, it sort of informs my character and teaches me what to do, essentially. And it, like, brings out parts of your psyche that you don't usually get to express on stage. So I adore that. And it made the role, like, fun to do, basically.
That happens, I think, for a lot of people, which is part of the fun of doing live theater and having artistic freedom here at ABT. You know, we saw original pictures of the original rendering for Golden Cockerel, and the original guy who played the astrologer was actually much, much older, and he wore very little makeup because he was already almost playing himself just with a beard. And when I saw the casting that it was you and Corey, we really had to think of how to transform these very attractive young men into creepy old guys who's going to read on stage. So it's fun for us to think about it, but then we also get to watch the talent transform mentally and physically. Sometimes I don't even see the makeup transformation because I just see my own handwork and my own mistakes, but you really get to see the character come alive because we are creating, we're almost taking your imagination and putting it on your face. We're bringing these characters to life and changing the shape of your lips and your eyes and your eyebrows that automatically change your expression just by manipulating the lines and contouring. So we often have that reaction, and that's like really, really fun to see people come to life in the makeup chair.
Yeah, I can imagine that would be, I mean, that's when it must be fulfilling, right?
Yeah.
And you're like,
yeah.
Oh, nailed it.
Yeah, you know. Even people just getting old. You know, we do old age makeup so often in theater, mm-hmm. and some dancers or actors, you can actually see them change their posture even in doing their makeup because they're watching me do their makeup so intently because they are getting into character, mm-hmm. and they're facing a mirror. And they start acting as we're still working. They're truly mentally getting to that place. And every line or shadow you add, you know, some people like slouch more, mm-hmm. or they hold their heads differently. And yeah,
I mean,
whether it be turning into a female character or old or wizard-like or witch-like, they definitely it physically and mentally brings out that character.
There must be some sort of like mental process that happens. Like, I don't know if it's like subconscious or whatever, that when you see yourself in a different way, you like, I don't know, stifle your natural tendencies or something, or
yeah.
you're like, you try to make your outside match your inside or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. So you see this completely different person in the mirror, and then just without even thinking, you're telling your brain to do
right.
what society thinks that is.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. You know, when you have really evil eyebrows or really even just evil eyes, you know, we use a lot of red, as you mentioned, mm-hmm. in the eyes, because that kind of just, it not only artistically pops the eyes because mm-hmm. it's a bright color, mm-hmm. But it also adds, you know, your mind just sees red as blood and as evil because mm-hmm. that's what society kind of
has
tells us.
Upon us. Yeah.
So when you add a lot of red to somebody's eyes, it kind of brings out this evil look. And then when you see yourself as that, you know, you have to play it. You know, it's not going to work if you are really jolly and fun, but you look evil. It mm-hmm. doesn't make sense on stage. So I think people do naturally kind of fill in the blanks in that sense.
Totally. It's like you got to commit or just get out, basically.
Yeah.
Like, there's no half-assing that.
Right.
Sort
Same
of,
with making yeah. somebody beautiful. Yeah. You know, when you make somebody beautiful, you can't go on stage and play this evil person
yeah.
and have it be as efficient.
Yeah. So is there a ballet that you really love working on, like your favorite sort of artistically?
Well, that's a hard question. I really like different ones for different reasons. I actually really enjoy Firebird.
Mm-hmm.
Firebird has a lot of fun makeup.
Mm-hmm.
The character Cachet is really fun to do because he's a swamp creature, yet he is human. And there's a lot of really great colors we get to use for him, and different characters play him, or different dancers play him differently, so you can kind of work with that.
Mm-hmm.
Sylvia, Firebird, they all have a lot of makeup that's really fast. A lot of makeup artists don't like that. I actually really love doing a full face in 2 minutes. It's just, it's so fun, and you could accomplish so much, and that really is what makes us...
We've got a guest, guys. Sorry to interrupt, Trina.
Again, it's Daniil.
It's Daniil, my roommate.
Again.
I talked about your underwear. I hope that's okay.
That's totally fine. Bye.
Bye.
So I do like doing all those really fast character makeups.
What about, like, wig-wise?
Tempest.
Oh,
Tempest actually is one of my favorites makeup-wise. So... I am fully a makeup artist at heart, but professionally I do hair and wigs equally as much. Wig-wise, wow.
The Tempest was crazy.
The Tempest was insane.
I have some photos from that, and I'm like, I cannot believe that I looked like that.
It was so fantastic.
It was fun, yeah.
It was so fun. I have no idea what the ballet looked like. Mm-hmm. I've never seen it.
You were just always upstairs.
We were just nonstop busy with...
Yeah, there was so much in that one.
Yeah, I'm trying to think wig-wise what's a favorite. Well, Sleeping Beauty, which is coming up in a few weeks. Sleeping Beauty is by far our biggest wig show. We have about 200 wigs. Our second biggest show was the old production of Sleeping Beauty, which had 75. So it's not even sort of close. So this production of Sleeping Beauty has really changed everything in so many ways, in logistics, artistically, preparation-wise. It's enormous. Some of the styles are very, very simple, and some are very intricate, and I really like doing period hair. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy doing, like, 40s hair. I don't know why. I just like, have so, like, fancy free. I love doing fancy free. I don't know, my hands. And some of it's, like, really, like, sculpting. Mm-hmm. And that actually kind of plays. We talk about it upstairs all the time. Just like any other artist of any sort, if you're having a bad hand day, you can't create the same way you normally do. And not that everybody would notice that, but you notice it. You notice when your hands are tired or your hands are just not connecting to what's inside your head. But 40s, for some reason, is always in my hands. Mm-hmm. I can always roll up that hair really fast. But other styles, we do a lot of 1800 pieces that have a lot of... that's really intricate hair. There's also a lot of history, which is really fun to learn. Any period piece we do, you have to learn the history to have it artistically and historically correct.
All right, hold on 1 second, folks. We're going to take a quick break because Coco's here and he's getting naked. This...
It's my favorite way to see him.
Oh, God. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Stage Right Side. This episode is sponsored by Hobbit Toenail Clippers, and you can find them in your Duane Reade locally. And if you don't have a Duane Reade, you have to come to New York City to get your Hobbit Toenail Clippers. So Coco has changed and left us, and we're back to business here. I don't even remember what we were talking about, but I honestly don't have that much more time because I have to go back to rehearsal. But I did want to ask you about a bit about like the products you use, and and ABT is sponsored by MAC. Am I correct?
MAC and Bumble and Bumble. Yes.
Win.
Yes. Product. It's funny because we talk about this upstairs often. Some stylists and artists are like big product people. I am not. I am super old school. But certain products are undoubtedly better than others. We use mostly theatrical makeup here. So
like
we use
Ben Nye,
Mayron, Kryolan, MAC. We also use really old school Star Blend Pancake.
That's Mayron, right?
That is Mayron. Uh-huh. And that actually was, I want to say, from the 20s. That's what the flappers in New York City used. And... you know, not many people use it anymore, but we are constantly being like, wow, it just works. Mm-hmm. It works in certain ways. It's very efficient. It's very cost efficient.
It lasts like a second.
So it's pure pigment activated by water. It's not terrible for your skin. It is heavy because it's pure pigment, but everything is, you know, you're putting something on your skin. And I think the biggest difference is just, it also lasts really long, so it is very efficient. It's also what the female ballerinas paint their shoes with. So even if we completely discontinued using it makeup-wise, we would actually probably still carry it for them to very quickly and efficiently paint their ballet slippers. Mm-hmm. But it's almost like working with watercolor versus oil-based. Mm-hmm. So most makeup nowadays is either oil-based or like a liquid foundation, which we don't hardly ever use in theater. And this pancake is all water-based. So sometimes, myself included, you're so used to painting with all these oil-based products, which is very mainstream and what you buy everywhere. And you kind of have to go back to the basics and learn a different medium. Mm-hmm. And it's... like painting on a canvas with oil paint versus watercolor. So it is kind of a challenge sometimes, and we are definitely introducing more and more new products to ABT, mm-hmm. but there are certain staples that
They just won't go away.
They don't go away, and they work. Yeah. And, you know, why fix something when it's not broken? And aqua color, we use a lot of aqua color, which is Krylon. Mm-hmm. And that is used in other theaters very often.
And is that water-based as well?
That is also water-based, but it is a bit creamier, mm-hmm. and it's also very highly pigmented, and it comes in all colors. So ABT, all your Cirque du Soleil's, a lot of shows use it because it is just so rich in color and very easy and comes off very easy. So we use a lot of that. That also, it lasts a long time, so you can really get a lot of performances out of it.
We use the gold, right?
For the astrologer, and I use the gold, one, because gold always looks good and shimmers, but actually mostly to bring in and connect to the golden cockerel itself. So we use the same gold on the female dancer playing the golden cockerel, and I kind of just chose to start there because they, did you own her?
Yeah, I created her.
You created her.
Yeah.
So, you know, a little bit of you is...
Yeah, she's my baby.
Yeah, so you guys had to connect. So I chose to start with gold, and I tend to always go towards golds versus silvers anyway. So then it kind of just worked.
Why? Just because it's warmer or what?
I personally like gold more than silver in life. Uh-huh. But I do always, since I was very little, I've always gone to warm colors versus cool. I always pick yellows, oranges, uh-huh. reds over blues and greens in everything. I also think it works on faces much better, especially when you kind of deaden a character using really, really pale makeups, or even in just beauty makeup. Mm-hmm. Your warmth is life. Uh-huh. So when you put a lot of silvers and blues on, whether it be like really tacky eyeshadow, mm-hmm. I think blue eyeshadow is tacky.
don't tell Russia. Ow! Yeah.
Or even silvers, if you're doing a bride and you put a lot of silver on her, uh-huh. especially when it's photographed, it's going to appear more blue, uh-huh. and that deadens you. Blue is a color of death in many ways and in your body. So your reds, your warm colors just bring you back to life. So highlighting with a peach, mm-hmm. Is always really beautiful. Using a gold versus a silver, mm-hmm. kind of just pops and illuminates the skin. So I kind of always go towards warm colors.
All right.
Yeah.
So, in closing, can you just say your biggest, stage makeup pet peeve that people do?
In talent or my coworkers?
In talent.
On a professional level, yeah. I cannot stand when people rip off their own wigs. Not because I want to take every single wig off myself, but because it actually truly damages wigs. Uh-huh. And wigs are incredibly, not only expensive, which most people don't realize how expensive wigs are, but they're also handcrafted. Yeah. Somebody actually sat there and sewed it by hand, and out of respect to that artist, whether it be one of our own, which we do have people who make them, or they were made overseas, somebody really spent an immense amount of time. So not only do we have to then spend time and money repairing it or replacing it, but it's somebody's craft. And it's just not nice, and we're actually probably one of the only professional theaters anywhere that even allows the talent to touch their wigs.
Yeah.
That's actually a pretty industry standard, uh-huh. that you are not allowed to touch your wig.
Get your dirty mitts off the wigs,
so,
kids.
That's
that's it.
Excuse me. As a personal pet peeve, I find it frustrating in theater, uh-huh. when people are very slow.
Makeup?
Yeah. When, like, even just some coworkers or colleagues, even when they're the best artists I've ever seen, mm-hmm. Especially when we know it's a quick show and we've gone over that this is going to be very quick, and they are as if they're on a movie set, mm-hmm. and have 15 hours to do this. Sometimes I'm like, come on, you just got to go fast.
Just make a stripe on her face.
Yeah,
let's go.
I'm trying to think of other pet peeves. I don't know. Those are probably...
I
right now in
I
the theater.
I have.
Do you have pet peeves?
I don't think so. I get frustrated with overplucked brows.
Oh,
like
yes.
Like a yes. Like an apostrophe situation. Like, I feel...
Agreed.
Just leave them alone. They're going to be fine.
You know? In the makeup industry, I can't stand, especially in film, where, you know, your film, you have the best artists and biggest budgets ever. I can't stand it when the actor has perfect teeth, but their face is decrepit in some way.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me crazy. If they're poor and sick... Les Mis, the movie Les Mis, they were all poor and sick with sores and welts on their face, and then they smiled and had like perfect teeth. And I was like, how did you mess that up? How did you forget to alter their teeth? So that bothers me.
I don't really think about yeah. such things.
Or even our characters.
Yeah.
Even, you know, this week with Lakeside.
Yeah.
Von Rothbart Lakeside. Like, when he doesn't do his teeth, which the men do, we black their teeth out. I'm like, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
You're a monster. You shouldn't have perfectly
white, straight teeth. You shouldn't have Tom Cruise teeth.
Yeah. Yeah.
You shouldn't have Tom Cruise teeth. Did you hear that, monster? All right. Well, this has been
this
the Stage
awesome.
Right Side with James Whiteside and Rena Most, and she is truly the most. I bet you've never heard that before.
Never. Not once.
Can you just prattle off your various social media if you'd like to share? If not, no worries.
Yeah. I am on Facebook. My name, Rena Most. And also on Instagram is just my name, Rena Most. I am not very good at posting. I am actually very lazy in the technology world and check it, but don't post much. Only when I feel something is very important.
Super awesome.
Or I post a lot of my niece. I post actually very, very little, if any, of my work.
So don't follow her.
Well, yeah, if you follow me, you're going to be really disappointed. Partially because we are actually not supposed to post our work. In the theater world, which everybody does, I like the old school tradition mm-hmm. that you should come see the show live if you want to see what we're doing.
Oh my God. Earth is getting so weird.
I know. But yeah, I don't post a lot of my work. I never have. No. Maybe one day I will start.
No, you do you.
But I inspire other people to post their work, and I am totally fine when other people post my
yeah.
work. Contractually, we're not supposed to here at ABT.
I don't think we are either. But
you're not either, but it's a lot harder to crack down on like 100 dancers mm-hmm. than one makeup artist. So they can find me much easier, and they have told me
yeah.
more than once.
Well, on the opposite end of the spectrum, I do whatever, literally whatever I want. My Twitter and Instagram are James B. Whiteside, Facebook.com/James Bruce Whiteside, Snapchat, James Bruce White, and my website is jameswhiteside.org. And that's about it. I can't really think of anything else. My MySpace, oh my God, JK, defunct. this has been the Stage Right Side. Bye.
Bye.